Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be down here and talking to all of you. I'm doing my best as I'm listening. I'm learning little bits of Spanish, picking up those words that I know. So it was kind of fun having the headphones on and listening to the talks and trying to match it up. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Xamarin development, cross-platform mobile development. I've already done an introduction, but one thing they didn't mention is my interest in Pagana Trophy. Any of you know what that is? It's the growing of facial hair, which today you wouldn't really know because I have none. But I tell people when I go to conferences that you'll have to remember my name because I'll never look the same the next time you see me. I may have hair, I may not. It may fall out, I may shave it. We'll never know. So we're going to talk a little bit about cross-platform mobile development, what that means and what some of the challenges are. And we'll talk specifically about Xamarin as one solution to that. We're going to focus on C#, which hopefully you all know and love. Rachel is gone, so she can't heckle me and say how much better F# is. We're going to look at those challenges. Now, how many of you have a mobile device with you? The only people not raising their hands are on their mobile device. Everyone, good. So, mobile app development is huge, whether it's for consumers who are using the apps for their own use, or even more now for businesses. The business wants you working on your phone, whether you're at work or not. And so more and more business applications are being written for mobile devices as well. And a lot of companies are realizing that their staff, their workers are going to bring their own device. They're not all going to use an iPhone, or they're not all going to use Windows Phone. Even at Microsoft, they don't all use Windows Phone. So when you think about building mobile applications, we're really talking about having to build them in a lot of cases for different platforms, different kinds of devices. And you have some choices when you do that. You can, of course, do native development. I can go write Objective-C in Xcode for the iOS platform. I can go write Java for Android. And maybe, if I'm lucky and I'm a Microsoft person, I'll get to write C# for some Windows Phone. But there are other options for cross-platform, where I can use one particular language and write the application to run on all those platforms. If you like C++ and low-level coding, you can write cross-platform C++. We're going to talk today about cross-platform C#. A little bit higher level, we avoid all that memory management and fun stuff from C++. But you can also do cross-platform with HTML and JavaScript. In fact, tomorrow, I'll show you how to do that, and we'll talk then specifically about some of the trade-offs. If we talk about that idea of writing native applications versus some of these choices for cross-platform, a lot of it comes down to productivity. If I write an application for each platform, that's a lot of work. I've done that for a simple app, and it was really frustrating to go and write an iOS application from scratch, redefine all of my business classes, redefine all of my data access and networking pieces, and then switch over to Java and write the same application for Android. The initial piece is enough duplication of work to be frustrating. But then, what do we actually spend most of our time doing with an application as developers? Writing it or maintaining it? If you say writing it, I want to come work with you. So, once you have these two applications, iOS and Android, now you have to maintain them. So you have to go fix a bug. Let me get into the Android and Java mindset to fix that bug. Oh, no, I have to switch into the iOS mindset over here. How did we accomplish that feature on iOS? And I have to switch. And so when you do native, then you have these challenges. You're writing for the Mac, you're going to use Xcode and Objective-C and their interface builder and storyboards. And, of course, you have to have a Mac. They're going to, for Android, right, you're going to have different tools, different language, different paradigms even for the user interface about how you build these things. And so these are the challenges. I didn't even put Windows Phone up there. I love Windows Phone, but the reality is today most people are using iOS and Android. Most developers are targeting those devices, right? And so even with just those two most popular platforms, you're dealing with those challenges. Now add in one more. Right? Add in Windows Phone and you have one more. So Xamarin is one solution in order to address those challenges. To say, I want to do development for those platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows or Windows Phone, but I want to do it all in C Sharp. And ideally, I'd like to do it all in one tool. I don't want to switch development environments. I don't want to switch languages. Right? I want to focus on these particular things. I want to focus on the app, right? Not all that context switching. And Xamarin focuses on C Sharp because they believe strongly in that language as the best language for writing applications and especially mobile applications. There are a number of different things you can point to. Right? My favorite is the built-in support for asynchronous programming. That was probably my biggest struggle as I wrote an application for all these different platforms, was switching my mindset of, oh, I'm going to make a network call, it has to be asynchronous, I'm in Java. How do I do that again in Java? Oh, right, now I'm on iOS. I have to use that paradigm for asynchronous code. And what I really wanted to do in both those situations was just use the async and await keywords from C Sharp and be done with it. Because I knew that was a couple lines of code, very easy to write and to read and to use. And so that's what Xamarin really brings to mobile development, is that mindset of, I'm going to write C Sharp, but I'm going to target these other platforms. And we'll see what that means as we do that. So with Xamarin, we can write applications in C Sharp, and we can build them and deploy them to Android and iOS and Windows Phone, but also now for the Mac. So you can really target all of the major platforms with C Sharp. And you don't have to do all of them. You can pick and choose. You can say, I'll do iOS and Android. I like C Sharp, but I'm not going to build a Windows Phone application, maybe. Now, when we get into the actual development, you have two choices. One is that Xamarin provides their own development environment. Rather than having to use a specific one for Android or iOS, they have Xamarin Studio. It runs on the Mac or on Windows, so that you can build regardless of what platform you're on. Now, how many of you are Visual Studio users, though? Almost everybody. Do you want another development environment? Most people I know that use Visual Studio love Visual Studio. The few that don't are using text editors. So if you're a Visual Studio person and you're already thinking about web applications, other things that you're building in C Sharp, you just want to keep using Visual Studio. So Xamarin allows you to install an extension and instead of having to use a separate development environment, do all of your work right inside of Visual Studio, which means, as odd as it sounds, I have an Android project that I'm going to build in Visual Studio. I have an iOS project right in my Solution Explorer next to all of the other components of my application that I'm going to build. Now, what this looks like is Visual Studio obviously only runs on Windows. Xamarin Studio will run on either Windows or Mac. So if I use Xamarin Studio on the Mac, I can build Android, iOS, or Mac. Strangely, I can't build Windows or Windows Phone, but that's because I'm on the Mac. On the other side, if I use Visual Studio, I can only run it on Windows, but now I can build for anything I could use Visual Studio for, Windows, Windows Phone, server, client, and Android, and iOS. There's one catch with the iOS, which is you still have to have a Mac. And some of this comes down to just licensing issues from Apple, the requirements they put on how these things work. The people at Xamarin are crazy smart, and I'm sure that they could figure out how to build this stuff on Windows, but licensing and other things require that Mac. So you have Visual Studio on Windows, you have a Mac sitting nearby that's running and doing some of the build process for you. So let's just take a quick look at Xamarin Studio. So because I'm running on, Windows, love how PowerPoint switches that for me. Because I'm running on Windows with Android Studio, my option is really to build Android. Xamarin Studio on Windows won't let me do an iOS application. But I can create my Android application that allows me to target particular versions of Android. Do I want the latest, or do I want something that will actually be compatible with all of the slightly out-of-date devices in the world? And I can add Google Play if I want, to take advantage of the Google services in the app. That in there. It's going to go ahead and set that up and set me up with Git for version control. So they've created a very full-featured development environment. It has version control. It has a project system. You know, all the stuff that you would expect that you could use in a development environment. Full debugging support. So you know, it's not a bad choice. We kind of joke if we love Visual Studio that we don't want to switch, but it's actually a very capable editor and development environment. Now, if you look, in Android, we have this notion of activities. And so when we talk about building applications in C#, that doesn't mean we can just forget that we're building an Android application or an iOS application. At the end of the day, we're going to get an application that looks like a native application, runs like a native application, and it uses those native application concepts. So in Android, for user interfaces, we have this notion of an activity. Well, then we go and create this application for Android, and it says, well, you have an activity. But instead of being in Java and having to work with the Java language constructs, we're working with C#. And granted, C# and Java aren't going to look that different. It may be hard to pick up on that. But the other thing that the folks at Xamarin did was say, look, we can actually make this a little better. You're still going to have to interact with that Java set of APIs, but some of them are kind of horrible. Right? Some of them are painful to work with. And you do, for example, a lot of casting. When you want to retrieve some element from the user interface and manipulate it, in Java, you cast all of that stuff. Well, we're going to go in here, and when we want to go find some particular item in the UI, we're going to use generics, because those are simple, they're familiar in .NET, and now we can go get that item, and it's already got the type. I'm not casting. I know, hopefully, at design time and runtime that I've got the right type in there. Now, a lot of times when you see these code editors, they're just that, they're code editors. But Xamarin Studio, and as we'll see with Visual Studio, they bring to the table not just the code editors, but also the other tools you need. So here it's loading up a particular layout. Right? Again, an Android construct for the user interface. And if we go open this XML file, you could view it as XML if you want to, but they've integrated the designer for the Android UI into Xamarin Studio, so that I can come in and build here. And again, they didn't just copy it. They've actually made it so that if you're a C-sharp developer, it's going to feel very familiar. So you have a toolbox. You can drag things in. If you're more capable at dragging than I am, apparently. You can drag them in. Right now I have a progress bar on here and a familiar style property window that I could go down and set all those properties about that particular progress bar. So if it's got an indeterminate behavior, we can say it's going to repeat. And of course, as I said, all of this is actually just creating that horrible XML file that you don't want to look at, probably. But it actually works very well. And if you've done any work with some of the other editors, probably shouldn't name names, but Eclipse. Some of those are painfully slow. They're hard to work with, right? This is actually makes Android development much less painful. Now I'm going to hit run while this is going. How many of you have done Android development with Eclipse or with some of the tools? And of those people, how many of you like the emulator that comes with Android? I think all the hands went down. Maybe one. The emulator that comes with the regular Android SDK is painfully slow. It's slow to start. It's slow to run your code. Almost everyone I talk to that does Android development uses a device because they can't be productive using that emulator. So in the last year, both Xamarin and Microsoft have come out with their own Android emulators that are both very fast. And so you can install the Xamarin emulator. I happen to have the Visual Studio emulator for Android that's popping up here. So there's my application name, and now I have an Android application here that's got a button click that's not all that interesting, but it's an application that written in C sharp. Running on an Android device, in this case, an emulator. But if I had an Android device attached, I could run it on there as well. Right? So it packages those up, deploys them to the Android platform for us to use. Now with Visual Studio, I'm just going to show you a couple of differences. Right? We still have the same capabilities for the designer. We still have that same project system, obviously, that we have with Android Studio. The difference is that we can now work with all of the project types we want in the same solution. So if I go create a new project, and I say I want to create a mobile app, I say, well, I want a blank app, it's native. Let's go in here. We'll create that. And so the solution, when I say I want a mobile app with Xamarin, it assumes I'm going to build for all those platforms. So I'm going to get an iOS project, an Android project, a Windows Phone project, all of those that I can then go in and start building. And this is my little indicator. I'm using iOS. So it says, oh, well, if you want to use this to build iOS, you need to connect to a Mac running Xamarin. Mouse is moving by itself. That's kind of scary. There we go. So it says you need to find a build host. That means that somewhere on the network, I need a Mac. It needs to have Xamarin installed. And it's just running a little proxy, essentially, a build host that my Visual Studio can talk to. And it uses that for two main things. One, it's called a build host, you can probably guess, when I build. When I hit F5 to debug, or I go to build that solution, it's going to proxy over to the iOS build host and ask it to build that for me. The other is when I use the interface design tools. So we saw the Android. If I bring up my storyboards or my layouts for my iOS application, again, it's talking to that Mac in order to take advantage of the pieces of code that have to run on the Mac to make that work. So a good network connection between the two is pretty important. You're going to want to make sure that they can talk to each other. I have wireless in my house, and it works just fine. Right? I can build a fairly good-sized solution or use the interface builder with very little issue. So we can see that we've got that same capability now in here. We've got the Android application, the iOS, and the Windows phone, and a shared library that we'll talk about in a minute. So let's talk a little bit about how this works. C# on Android. We've had a talk earlier about .NET on Linux and .NET on Mac, right? This isn't that different. It's actually a lot of the same foundation with Mono that was built for Linux, right, is what was at the heart of being able to run C# on Android and iOS. However, as Xamarin was formed and they made this a commercial product, they kind of had some realizations and some requirements that they had to meet. So for Android, when you write your C#, you saw that I was using Activity, which is, you know, an Android class. You can use fragments. You can use all those pieces. And we have all those controls. And so I'm writing C#, but I'm using things that exist from Android. And the way that works is that they've created these Android bindings. So it looks like .NET, looks like C# to me, but it's actually calling into the actual Java or Android components that are part of the framework, that are part of the Android environment. So you're actually leveraging those same things you'd be using if you were writing Java. All of our code goes into this application package, which is, a Android package format. So it's a native Android package. And then when we go to deploy onto the Android device, we actually have the existing Android runtime that apps would use if they were built using Java. And then there's the .NET runtime that's on there. So all the code that we've written, all of that C# can run on top of that runtime. But all of the things that we're referencing, Activity and those other Java classes, are going to run on top of the Android runtime. So they didn't have to rewrite Android, luckily, or rewrite that runtime. They just had to build a bridge between them. And so when we talk about building native applications with this, as I said, you're running those native Android components and native pieces on that runtime, and then your pieces are running on the Mono runtime. Now, Apple makes things a little more difficult because they could have done the same thing, right? But Apple has a rule that you can't have any runtimes on their systems. They don't allow Flash. They don't allow a variety of things that would work in there. And so on iOS, what they did is said, well, if we can't have a runtime, we're just going to have to figure out how to take your code, use that same concept of bindings, right? But at the end, we're going to have to compile that ahead of time into a native iOS application. So they literally take your C# and those existing iOS libraries, and they compile it into an iOS native application that can then be deployed onto the device. So again, when we talk about native, we really mean native application. You write C#, they make it, essentially make it Objective-C, right? Or the lower level of what Objective-C becomes. They compile it down to that native application. So one of the challenges that people make to native, or these cross-platform, rather, application platforms, is that they're not as good. They're not as fast. You can't do all the same things. Right? In this case, you really can. Right? Those iOS bindings give you access to all of the native features of those devices. Xamarin is well known for publishing updates to those on the day of release from Apple. Right? When they release iOS 9, Xamarin has updated bindings, and you get an update, and now you're ready to target iOS 9. They're very good at keeping up with those things. Right? And so you can build Apple Watch applications with this. Right? Shortly after it was released, you're able to build Apple Watch applications using Xamarin. So they're very current with that and have to be because, again, they have to build to a native application that will run on those platforms. And because they're native, the performance is very good. In fact, there are some cases where people have done performance tests and a Xamarin version of an application actually ran faster than a native version. I don't know how interesting the conversation would be with the really smart people that write that code. They might be the singularly focused people that can only think in bytes and bits, but they do amazing things to make that happen. So we have the C#, and we can write an iOS and an Android application, which is great. We're using the same language. We can use the same async patterns. But what we really want in terms of a cross-platform development is write less code. Right? Part of the problem was if I build these two native applications, I have all sorts of duplication. Now, portable class libraries is something that's been part of the Microsoft build process and project system for a while, and they allow us to build an assembly, or DLL, that can run against multiple frameworks. Now, back in the day, it was, you can use it in a desktop and Silverlight. How many of you are doing Silverlight development today? A couple. For a while longer, right? But today, it's really expanded. They took that same idea and said, well, we have this notion of a class library that can be portable. Why couldn't it run with the Mono for Android or the Xamarin Android stuff? Why couldn't it run with the Xamarin iOS? And so with a portable class library, you target specific frameworks. Yep, I'm building this. I'm going to run it on Xbox and Windows 10 and Android and iOS. And then what happens is, in the context of that library, you can only call APIs that are part of or available on all those platforms. So if you pick a platform that doesn't support some library or some function, you're not going to be able to use it in that portable class library. And that's how they ensure that the code written there is portable. Right? As long as you specify the targets up front, they filter down what APIs you can call, and then they know when you go to execute, they're going to be available on those platforms. So I've got an example here, similar to what we just did with the new project. Just so you can see, I've got the Android application. I've got a desktop or WPF application. I have a Windows Universal, so Windows 8, a Windows Phone, 8.1. And all of those have their own user interfaces. And then I have a supporting web project here. So if we go look at that, if we go look at our main activity here, again, it's a simple activity. I'm using those same Android constructs, but here I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to load up this main page. It's based on a base class that does lists. I provided an adapter. And that's going to go out. And now, instead of writing any code here in this Android application to do network access to a web API, to load these things up, and even to have the definition of my entities or my model, I'm going to put all of that into a shared portable class library.
So from the Android application, I can now simply reference that, create a class from that library. So this is coming from my portable class library. And then I can make a call to that library to go and get my data. In this case, a driver, right? A person who's going to drive me somewhere. And so those two lines of code are all I have in here in order to go make network calls, get back a set of drivers that I can use. So if we jump over, now we're in this portable class library. And you can see I've got a driver repository and the driver here. That's my model, my entity. The repository is just a wrapper around HTTP calls. And so all of my data access, all my data entities, all that's encapsulated here. I'm going to use it in the Android, the Windows Phone, the Windows 8 application, the desktop application. If I had an iOS, I could leverage it from there. So I have one place now to deal with all of those concerns about manipulating data, retrieving data, and all of those data types are shared. So I don't have to redefine them in every language and in every project. So here we're just doing a basic HTTP request out to that service. But notice again, this is an asynchronous call. So back in my driver adapter here, I'm building an Android application, but I get to use await and async. I get to use the C-sharp model for doing asynchronous programming so that I don't have to remember how to do that in Java. And I really dislike the way that they do it. So I love this feature. So the portable class libraries allow me to do that. If we go look at that library, you can see this target section, which I can go change, and this is where you get those options to go in and select what are the specific frameworks that I want to target. Now, you can't always do everything, right? There will be some things that are incompatible, depending on the libraries you're using or things you're trying, but you can see I've pretty much hit everything here, except Silverlight. Sorry to the one or two people that raised their hands. But I've hit all the major platforms here with that one library. And so only the things that are available across those different platforms are going to be available in that portable class library. And some things like Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, it doesn't matter what you pick. They're so compatible that if you pick either of them, it assumes you can also target the other. So we're using C#. We have our portable class library that we can share. But what about those interfaces? I already showed that we can build, an Android interface using activities and fragments and all those pieces. And so I can write very custom UI code. I use the same interaction semantics that people are used to, right? The same kinds of gestures in that application. And again, I have access to things like maps, right? Location, compasses, devices, and sensors, but also all of those other UI pieces that I want to take advantage of. And so I can build a very targeted custom experience for Android and then go over to the iOS and do the same. Right? I can set up my storyboards for my iOS application in order to have that flow that I want in there. Write the controllers. Right? Use the classes that are part of the iOS user interface code and have those then drive the experience. Use transitions. Use all that great stuff. So the user gets a very native experience working with that, but I still get to use all that shared code in the DLL. Right? So I get to leverage as much code sharing as I want. I get to tailor the user interface to the platform at the same time. Now, Xamarin has been around for a couple of years, and they really kind of nailed that use C# for either of these platform things. And then they started to branch out. They said, well, what else can we do to reduce the work of cross-platform development? How about that user interface? Aren't there some things between the two that are pretty similar? We have lists on all those platforms. We have buttons. We have toggles. We have tabs. There's all these user interface elements and concepts that are shared, but they look different on every platform, and they behave slightly differently. But they realized that they could describe that in kind of a neutral language that says, I want a list. I want a list of items. Here's the items. And then they can take that definition of the list, and they can render it on iOS using native iOS list controls. They can take that same list definition, that generic list, and they can render it on Android using an Android list control. And so Xamarin Forms allows you to not only share the logic in that portable class library, it also allows you to share user interface definitions. Now, if you like XAML, the Silverlight people probably do, right? Any other WPF people, right? You can write this in XAML. It's just declarative markup of a hierarchy. Right? You're just, it's maybe not much better than the Android XML I showed you, but it's a hierarchy of those controls with all their properties. And so just like the portable class library allows us to only access things that are shared, the XAML, or the definition for these controls, really is about what are the things that are in common across these platforms, right? And so you can design that in XAML. If you prefer, you can build that hierarchy up in C# code. Right? And you can say, here's my user interface. I'm just going to build it up, set properties, build the hierarchy that way, and do that. The key, though, is that you define the user interface once, and Xamarin then can interpret that for every platform and render it using native controls so that when you get a toggle, it looks like an Android toggle on Android. When you get it on Windows Phone, it looks like Windows Phone. If you do a tabbed list on Windows Phone, that's the pivot. That's where you swipe over and you have the headings because that's what people are used to on Windows Phone. On iOS, you're going to have tabs at the bottom because that's where people on iOS are used to finding them. And so you say you want a tabbed UI and you describe the tabs and the items on the tabs and they render it appropriately for the device. I'll just show you a quick example here. So in my portable library now, you'll start to see these XAML files. You'll also probably notice that it's all about Lego. I have two boys that are 9 and 11. You probably won't notice anything if I don't put it on where you can see it. There we go. So I have these XAML files in here that describe my views. Those are all in that portable class library. They all compile to classes just like regular XAML. And they're then my shared user interface for all the different platforms. So I can run the same application on Android or the Windows Phone in this case, right? And have that work. So let me go pull that up. So if I look at the XAML here, you'll see I've got a list. I have an activity indicator, and then I have a list view in this case, and I have a toolbar down here that has add, sync, and purge. So you can see, since it's accessing the network, I've got my activity indicator there and my toolbar buttons appear up at the top because that's where they would be on Android. On a Windows Phone, Those are going to be action buttons on the bottom. And then we have our list, right, of our particular Lego sets that my kids are always asking me to buy them, which are always the really expensive ones. They never want the little $5 sets. Not sure why. So with Xamarin Forms, you write this logic. How many of you have written something that was either a wizard or like this that should be cross-platform? And it could work 100% on all the different places you wanted to use it. There's always going to be some changes, right? This allows you to do platform-specific things. I can slide markup in here to do something slightly different on Android or slightly different on iOS. So hopefully that gives you a sense of what you can do with Xamarin to build these native applications with a native look and feel and native performance, but get to write in C#, which is awesome. And now if there's any questions. Oh.
Does the iOS version will take advantage of the new metal renderer?
We'll take
graphics renderer. Metal graphics renderer.
Oh, the graphics rendering? Yes, they use all native iOS controls under the cover. So unlike something that would use a browser control that might not do that, it'll take advantage of all of those native capabilities.
Thank you.